This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06 and okay, not to get into it too much, but some videos have been making the rounds recently. I think we're all familiar with the fact that some of these videos have been making headlines, and that has of course brought up the conversation of privacy in hotel rooms and Airbnbs, particularly for us to know whether or not we're being recorded without our knowledge.
Yeah, so I think it's something many of us think about when we walk into a hotel room. You know, are we being watched right now? And we've seen plenty of those guides online, like how do you check for hidden cameras in your hotel rooms, your Airbnbs, and your home away from home.
So Airbnb's rule allow cameras outdoors and in living rooms and common areas, but never in bathrooms or anywhere that guests plan to sleep, including rooms with fold-out beds. Although I do wonder then for places that list their sofa as an additional bed, how that counts in terms of having a camera in the living room.
I think it would count, because if that's a place where you would sleep and that seems to be the rule that you're following, you likely have to inform or you have to not have a camera there at all. So last year, Airbnb added another layer of disclosure. If hosts indicate that they have cameras anywhere on their property, guests receive a pop-up informing them where the cameras are located and where they are aimed. And to book the property, the guests must click agree, indicating that they're aware of the camera and consent to being filmed.
However, these are problems that are happening all over the world, particularly spy cams, right? So in South Korea, spy cams in motels are a huge problem. Police there found that about 1,600 people were secretly filmed in motel rooms, with the footage live streamed online to paying customers. Cameras were hidden inside digital TV boxes, wall sockets, and hairdryer holders, all of which are just... the idea of being recorded like that, it's horrifying, because those are very public, very private spaces, especially if you imagine where a hairdryer holder would be and the kind of view you'd be able to get of the bathroom. Is just, ugh.
Yeah, and it, you know, the thing about these hidden cameras and spy cams is you're just not sure whether and how much you can dismantle and take apart the hotel or take apart that room that you're in to just look for these cameras. You know, you can take the extra effort and buy those devices that would help you scan for these spy cams in your room, but... you know, it's not something that you that comes instinctively. It's not something that's intuitive or immediate to think, oh, well, I enter a hotel room, I expect to be comfortable, to be safe and not to be, and to have some amount of privacy.
To be honest, I think it is for some people. I remember that when I was a kid, there was a time where my mom made a very big deal of it. It's like, we have to check, we must make sure. But all she was checking at the time was, and it remains really the only safety measure I actually know, or safety measure hack I know, which is, you're supposed to check the mirror, right? To check whether it's a two-way mirror, and you press your finger against it, and there needs to be a gap between your finger and the reflection of your finger. Otherwise, it is, in fact, someone could be watching you test it out at that very moment. And that's all I know. But from what I understand, that's not how it works anymore. More often than not, we're talking about things being used, like they said, in hairdryer holders, also attached to, you know, the Wi-Fi modems, things like that. That's where it's going to be placed.
They're very conspicuous. They're hidden, and you often can't tell whether they are cameras or not.
Inconspicuous.
Thank you. They're inconspicuous. And it's just hard to make the judgment call whether it is a hidden camera. And in the case of Airbnb, I think there is that extra layer of insecurity where you're not sure what you can actually do if, say, you do feel like you're being spied on. You know, you can report to the safety and trust team that they have, but then what happens there is really Airbnb is just, they're just brokers. They're essentially someone standing on the street. Hey, I got a room for you. You want to stay in there? That's the end of their role, it seems.
And of course, there are some people who would say, if I'm going to be renting out my house, which is an investment to strangers, I want to make sure that they're not just trashing my place.
Yeah.
You know, that they're not just spray painting the walls or doing whatever. You know, there is this idea of I need to protect my investment, which is why the boundaries of what privacy should be, I think, can often feel blurry between that role of being the guest as well as the one who has to take the risk of allowing people to enter that space. But yeah, let us know. I mean, do you check the rooms that you occupy, whether it's hotel rooms or Airbnbs, do you actually check when you walk in to see whether you're being recorded? Is that a concern for you? Is that something you think about? You can call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line with us is Swaran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership. Swaran, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, everyone. Good to be back again. Interesting topic.
So, okay, is there actually a real threat to privacy when we stay in hotel rooms or Airbnbs? Do you think that a lot of us might be a bit too complacent about this?
Yeah, in light of what has been going on, I would say definitely yes. And the threat is becoming more and more pervasive because there's going to be, what I'm seeing, a whole tit-for-tat scenario that is taking shape in the political sphere. And is there a real threat to privacy? Yes, there is. It's very easy to get devices from any of the online e-shopping sites for this kind of hidden cameras, the pinhole cameras. It's definitely there. And I know that Airbnb has revised its terms. It has these conditions which expects the host to specify if they have hidden cameras or any recording device. But the truth of the matter is that if somebody wants to do it, it's much easier to put in place such devices. They're far more accessible. Gone are the days when getting any spy camera or spy devices was something that was out of reach and difficult. But these days, with the advent of what's available online, it's not hard for any individual and even a child to acquire these things and place them in different parts of a hotel room or any space. And these things are somehow shown to various places. And I've also heard of very scary stories where, bulbs that have cameras or Wi-Fi abilities, which are used by people to see who's coming and going. If the password is not changed, the live footage of that bulb being available to the buyer is also somehow available on the dark web. And people pay good prices to be voyeuristic and see what's going on various Wi-Fi-enabled cameras and hidden devices that have been purchased on a web, obviously where the passwords are common, and these are seen by people around, and we don't even know who's watching us. So it's definitely a real thing, and the real threat is real. Yeah.
Are there things we should all be doing upon entering a new space where we plan to spend the night? Are there any signs to look out for that may be a threat to privacy?
I mean, then we enter into the realm of how paranoid are we going to be. There are devices which are sold out there which helps to detect hidden cameras. And because hidden cameras operate on certain sort of physics and the manner in which it operates, is that you can buy this item that detects pinhole cameras hidden in walls and other objects. And it will bounce off in the event certain signals are given, or they bounce off certain colors onto a white sheet of paper in the event the hidden cameras are located. And there are also this hack, that there's available hacks out there, which, if you do not have this device, you can find this on the web telling you, get a toilet, an empty toilet paper roll and use that and close one eye and use that to detect any sort of space in the room that glimmers with light. But that's not the easiest thing to do so. But to my mind, do look out for objects in the room that are out of place. The mirror trick is a good one that I heard on the radio. You were mentioning it just now. Is there a need to be more careful? I would say definitely yes. And I would say the bathroom is one of the main target points for majority of these things. So look out for things in the bathroom. Most of the cases and the complaints we hear about arise in places, even in public bathrooms, whether be it in the toilet, in a hotel room, or even in the toilets in a public space, or even in condominiums. And there are cases to that effect also. Yeah.
So from a legal standpoint, what are our rights to privacy when it comes to hotels and Airbnbs? Is there legislation around these rights?
There is no legislation that regulates privacy or rights to privacy per se. You have the criminal action or prosecution taken by the DPP, and then he has a civil wrong. In the criminal sphere, most of these actions fall within the penal code as a form of trespass or intrusion of space. And then also under the MCMC, the Communications and Multimedia Act also regulates the wrongful use of electronic devices that causes harm or is intended to annoy. So it's like in those sort of spaces where those provisions have been used for a trespass of a physical space are now being used in the digital invasion of someone's space. And in the civil law, you have the common law requirements where there isn't a legislation or regulation that says right to privacy is wrong, but you have a body of case law that has evolved over time. And it's interesting that if I were to talk about a case, one of the cases that I remember the most is a case that happened in 2006-2007 where a patient brought an action, a lady patient brought an action against a doctor in the hospital in Penang, where in the course of conducting a surgery, he took pictures of her anus, which is subject matter of what was taking part in the surgery. And upon finding the same, she was offended and she brought the suit. In that case, the court held that the court was not brave enough to say that there is a right to privacy, but the court did say that whatever rights you're trying to protect as somebody who is in privacy has been invaded, you can do so under the law of breach of trade secrets or confidential information. But since then, the law has evolved, and in the federal court case of Sivarasa, there was a pronouncement made by Justice Gopal Sriram, as he then was, to say that Article 5 of the federal constitution, where it says everyone has a right to personal liberty, that also encapsulates and covers right to privacy. And so that has been the evolution since then. But I think where the parliament can really address this growing issue and threat is that rather than have a quilt work, a patchwork of different types of laws that are not meant to govern a right to privacy kind of violation, to in fact come up with one piece of legislation, a comprehensive one, that talks about all the various kinds of breaches of privacy that can take place, not just in the context of somebody taking a picture in a condominium bathroom, but in all different kinds of privacy breaches that can happen in the moments of when someone is grieving, when a picture is taken of someone with an accident on the road, or when a child goes missing. You have that case involving the girl some years back, the Nurin, what is the name again? The name of...
The girl for whom the Nur Alert was established?
That's right. Mm. That's the one, yes. So when you had the Nurin Jaslan case, and it was really awful that the parents had to see the post-mortem images when the body was found. And it was discovered that it was the police who were involved behind the leakage of the photos. And but there's nothing, that kind of wrong. There is no sort of specific legislation to say in moments when someone's someone's grieving or in someone's, you know, and there's, you know, can you invade the privacy of a dead body? Someone could raise that argument. That argument was raised in U.S. Successfully in the beginning, but, you know, reversed subsequently. So why do family members and individuals have to deal with these issues when they have to go to court and be embarrassed all over again and, you know, their rights being invaded all over again in the courtroom sphere? There should be, to my mind, some kind of a legislation to sufficiently address these rights to privacy, different kinds of violation that can take place, and have a very strong deterrent penalty arising from that.
In what instances can hotel management, security, or other authorities breach those privacy rights? So, for example, when might they be able to enter that space, a hotel room, for example?
To my mind, they should only be able to enter if they know for a fact that a crime is being committed or there's a serious threat to the occupants of that room. Because there have been lots of abuse of, you know, a very, very thin red line, what I've just said, as to a commission of a crime. And you have these raids that take place by religious authorities on the pretext of something they suspect, or there has been some kind of a whistleblowing that has happened to say, there's, you know, a Kalwat case or something of that order is taking place. And with instances when, you know, people's rights have been violated and they were perfectly, for example, married couples or whatnot, and it shouldn't happen. So I'll be very careful in saying what instances it would be correct for somebody to break into a hotel room or Airbnb space and see whether a crime has happened. I would say the threshold has to be quite high before that takes place, and it should be available only to limited number of people, for example, the police, and it should not be at the behest of any kind of a moral patrol or organization or authority to say we want to to conduct this raid because we feel that certain moral obligations or moral wrongs are being committed. So I would say those rights have to be curtailed to only very limited circumstances.
Soren, you've brought up a couple of different cases and situations here. So if someone does feel that their privacy was violated, if you see images of yourself or just recordings of yourself that you are not comfortable with, that you did not consent to being taken, what courses of action are available?
I mean, it has to be a multi-pronged approach. First of all, things are going viral. And of course, I would imagine on WhatsApp and Facebook, this would be social media. Messaging services or social media contacts in which it happens. Obviously, you need to quickly inform the social media owners and the WhatsApp organizers. Quickly let them know that these videos or these things ought to be stopped to the furthest extent that is possible to do so. That's the first thing. Secondly, make a police report with as much information as you can, and then lodge a report also with the MCMC to let them know your rights have been violated and how. And then bring civil action. If you know who is the perpetrator. And sometimes that becomes one of the biggest problems, finding out who the perpetrator. You may not know how the viral videos have spread. And that's when the police and the MCMC have to do as much as they can to help. And bring a civil action and try to push the boundaries of the law as much as you can to give you better rights. Until there comes a day when we have a clearer, more comprehensive privacy legislation, these are some of the steps that they can take. In trying to minimize the damage and also going after the perpetrator.
Soren, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
That was Soren Singh Sidhu, a partner at Law Partnership, weighing in on this idea of privacy and how much of it we can actually have in hotel rooms and Airbnbs. We want to know, is this something that is of concern to you when you enter a new space like a hotel, like an Airbnb? Do you actually check for these sorts of recording devices? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.